Well, hey everybody, welcome to episode 20 of the Ankeny Fanatic Rodcast. We are back with our summer edition. I can't believe we've done 20 of these. We must be going on our fifth year now. We have our usual cast of characters here. If you've never listened to the Rodcast before, I am Dan Holm, the publisher of Ankeny Fanatic, joined as always by Tony Rhodes on my right. And to the left, we have the star of the show, Rod Brandon of Shelter Insurance. How you guys doing?
Good.
Busy.
Retired.
Busy spring. Tony's retired now.
I was the last one here.
Got retirement parties, grad parties, you know. Now it's going to be wedding season, you know. It's a lot of stuff going on. I know Tony's got a wedding coming up fairly soon. What's that date again? October?
October 3rd.
Yeah. Got one in October. Yeah, a lot of stuff going on.
Friday night.
It's a Friday night wedding?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I didn't see that. So I'll have to make sure I book that whole day off then.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'll send everybody a link at the next Rodcast so you can all come and you just come and bring gifts and then leave. That's what we're going to do for.
And we do have a special guest coming in today. He should be here in about 15 minutes. So when he arrives, we're going to cut short what we're doing. We're going to bring him on. We don't want to make him wait, and we may finish up after he's done talking. But anyway, until then, we can talk some sports. So what's interesting you guys these days? What are we watching? NBA, NHL?
Well, I'm not going to lie to you. I actually have watched some NBA. I said Indiana, Oklahoma. First game was just unbelievable, and I know Tony's watches a lot of hockey. He's got a favorite hockey team, and they had a good year, didn't they, Tony?
Yeah, Western Conference Final 3 years in a row. LLL.
But yes, that's still a good year.
They rewarded their coach by firing him.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty tough.
Yeah. Well, he pulled his goalie, and that didn't go over well, I don't think. I think that was the main culprit of how he handled it in the media. And I don't know.
You have a hunch, and you do something, and you get fired for it. It'd be kind of like pulling your infielders in when the bases are loaded, you know, and it's tied. You know, then you get mad at somebody for it. Yeah, it's hard to believe, but you know I've watched some NBA, and it's I've watched some WNBA. I'll tell you that Indiana Fever team has got some nice players and some very attractive players too, I may say. Yes,
I'll take your word for it. Yeah. I have not watched a single minute this year.
So. Not in that order.
Yeah, they're. It's amazing how much more pretty the players are today than I remember when I was growing up. We'll just leave it at that, you know. But they're a lot of talent. We were kind of talking. This is kind of fun. We'll talk in the Rodcast. Somebody I read on Twitter, and it might have been a Keith Murphy deal, saying if Tyrese isn't the best player at this time to ever come out of, you know, Iowa State, then who would be? You know, and it's kind of hard to argue right now. And I said the same thing to a bunch of us guys about, you know, who would it be at Iowa? And Tony said Caitlin Clark. And I would agree, you know, she probably is, you know, the best. But I'm just trying to think of, like, any NBA or NFL players that I would say were, you know, we've had some good ones, but, you know.
Well, it's hard to compare across sports like that. I mean, how do you compare what she's done to, like, Bob Sanders?
I know. But it's just something just to think about, you know. And they were saying that up at Iowa State, and I kind of thought, well, I wonder who the Iowa one's going to be.
Yep. Well, I see that our special guest is arriving here, so we're going to take a quick break. We're going to bring him on, and we'll probably come back when he's done talking.
That sounds good. Bye. Well, welcome back to the Rodcast. Like Dan said earlier, this is episode 20, which means we're in our fifth year, and we try to get good guests on. And a lot of times we have to settle for people that aren't household names. But tonight, I kind of get to live my make-a-wish. I've got maybe one of the greatest sports persons in the state of Iowa with us tonight, and this afternoon, I should say. And it's John Walters. And welcome to the Rodcast, John.
I'm glad you lowered the bar enough to have me. I'm happy to be here, man. Good to see you guys.
I've always I have a face for radio, and I always wanted to be your color guy. Maybe do some field hockey sometime with Tony. We could get up there and do it. But I'm just going to jump into this right away. We're going to talk, since we just got done with basketball, I'm going to talk about the the team you just watched for Iowa State. So break down the team last year, what you thought and what you think's coming back.
Well, it was had all the makings of a really special year. I mean, they got off to a 15-1 start. You know, they're ranked in the top 10 basically all season long. And so in the grand scheme of things, it was one of the most successful seasons in Iowa State basketball history. I mean, we've only had six seasons in 113 years of Iowa State men's basketball where we won 25 games.
Yeah.
And this was one of those years. So it was a really good year. Now, the ending was disappointing, obviously, to not be able to advance further in the NCAA tournament and get pretty soundly in that second round game. But really, the journey along the way, it was a very fun team to be around. Unfortunately, injuries kind of caught up with them. And
big time.
Yeah, it really did. Yeah. It really did. And they didn't have enough margin for error to overcome that, but they still had a really, really good season. And Curtis Jones had a special season. It was great to see him play the way he did. But, you know, going forward, Iowa State's got four really solid, five guys back, but four that are, you would say, you know, elite type of players, or at least three in Taman Lipsey, who is one of the best point guards in the nation, without a doubt. Nate Heisey returns, who had a really good second half of the season, played really well. And then Joshua Jefferson and Milan Momcilovic. And I think Joshua can be a first-team all-conference player. I think he's got all-American-type potential. Milan's really continued to improve every year. And then Cade Kelderman's returning, too.
Yeah.
So I know you're a big fan of Cade, and I am, too. And but that's a really good foundation to have back. And in college basketball nowadays, you look around, there aren't many teams that have can even use the word foundation. I mean, there's a couple programs in the Big 12 that just started with a clean slate. They just added all new players, you know.
Isn't that just hard to fathom from 5 years ago?
It is. And it shows you the value of, you know, in the NIL era and the transfer portal era, the way that Iowa State's approaching it, and TJ in particular, he's trying to get really good players into the program and then keep them.
Yeah.
And so Iowa State's trying to spend its NIL dollars on men's basketball and keeping the good players they have, not going out and necessarily purchasing the best player off LSU's team or Texas's team. They don't want to get in bidding wars for guys, and they don't want to overpay what they're paying the guys now that are on their roster that they love, that they want to keep. And so they want to show them that loyalty. And so priority one in the offseason was to keep those guys, and they did. So I think Iowa State can be really good next year.
Well, I think they're going to be great. And I'm very invested, and I'll be honest, I'm going to buy season tickets.
Are you?
I'm going to watch.
We'd love to have you.
I'm going to watch Cato every game I can. Just, you know, him getting scholarship brings tears to my eyes. I'm serious, you know. I mean, I got really involved when Paul Rhodes, Tony's here.
Yep.
His brother was up there, and, you know, I'm not going to lie, he changed the culture of Iowa State football.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he
for
did.
Sure.
They were down in the dumps, and he was the Hayden Fry up there and just did a great job. And, you know, and I know when Paul left, he said, you know, I did it the right way. I did it my way. Yep. It was the right way. And, you know, we just didn't win enough games, but he didn't cheat. He didn't.
Yep.
He wasn't like an SEC type coach. Okay. I'm just going to say it that way. And, you know, then you see the brutal side of sports, mm-hmm. you know. And Tony can tell you right now, Paul's got a new job. What's he doing now?
He is now an SEC coach.
Yes.
Sorry, Paul.
Yeah. Well, he's done that. He came from SEC before Auburn, but yes, he's and of course he's been at Arkansas, and then now he's at Mississippi State as an analyst.
Yeah. He'll do a great job
senior,
there.
Yeah.
And
they have nowhere to go but up, John. 2-10 last year.
Well, I think the world of Paul, and you talk about, I've been fortunate. I mean, I've been doing this is my 23rd season of doing the radio for Iowa State, but I've been around it for a lot longer than that, going all the way back to Johnny Orr's early years. But, you know, my favorite part about the job has been those relationships with those coaches, and Paul's one that I still cherish and still text him, and, you know, we exchange texts and talk, and see him when he's back visiting you, Tony, which is great. And but you're absolutely right, Rod. He put integrity in, and, you know, and he lifted up a bunch of guys that were really, really at a low point, and lifted them up to where they could go not only be in a bowl game but win a bowl game in his first year. And I have a lot of special memories of that era and how cool it was, and the relationships and the kind of people he brought into the program. And so I know where you're coming from on this. And I do feel the same way about Cade Kelderman. I love the fact that he's going on scholarship. He works his tail off. He's an awesome student.
Yeah.
He represents everything you want. And what people don't realize, he's a really good basketball player.
Yeah.
Like at Joaquin Northwest, he led him to the state championship game and averaged like 17 points and six assists a game. He's a really good player that had D2. He could have gone to Northwest Missouri State and played for Ben McCollum.
Yeah.
He could have gone NAIA. He could have gone junior college. But he elected to walk on to Iowa State because that's what he grew up dreaming to do.
That was his dream.
Exactly.
Man.
Went to games with his dad. And look at him now. He's on a full ride. And those are the kind of success stories that you hope don't go away in this new era. But yeah, I love it. He's valued. He is valued in that program.
It's just neat he was rewarded.
Yes.
I mean, that's what I like. I mean, I like the fact this kid was, he's rewarded. And I tell you what's also kind of neat, you might not know this, but Saturday night, the Iowa State basketball kids are throwing the first pitch out at the iCubs.
I do know that. Yeah.
And I have four tickets in the club section in the front row for Saturday night. Yeah.
Is Kate throwing out one of the pitches?
I hope so, but okay. I'm going to be there to watch him. His dad's actually six rows behind me.
Okay.
But I've got my daughter, Taylor, her mother-in-law, works at Ziegler, and often their seats go on. You've used them before, Tony.
Mm-hmm.
They're just great seats. I mean, they're really right behind home plate.
Yeah.
So I'll usually grab them, and I'm taking my grandson and a couple friends down, and we're going to make that a night. And I'm looking forward to see. Yeah, I didn't tell Kato I was coming. His dad said it. So
yeah,
I'm looking forward to that. But I'm going to ask you this: 23 years of doing it.
Yeah.
You've seen some shit, man. I mean, you've seen some stuff, okay?
I've got scars.
What two or three moments that you called just like make the hairs on your did I just see that? I mean, what would they be? I'm just curious. Football, basketball, I'm sure, I know you've done some softball.
Yeah, no, I'd say there's three in football that jump off the page at me. And they might not be the three that you'd think of. But number one was Dan McCarney's final game as the head coach at Iowa State at home when they beat Missouri. And he got carried off the field by his players because Mac meant so much to that program.
Yeah.
And he really did put it on the map. And just love the guy. And another coach I still have a great relationship with, like everybody else does that's ever met Mac, has a great relationship with him. But that meant a lot to me to see them beat a ranked Missouri team, get a goal line stand, carry Mac off the field that final game. That was incredible. One that Paul coached in 2009 at Nebraska was one of my favorites because, again, it's overcoming adversity. You've got a million guys sick. You've got Jeremiah Schwartz making his first start at running back. Jerome Tiller making his first start at quarterback. You got Adamican Sue lining up opposite of those guys, okay? And you go in there and win 9-7 on a day when you force 8 turnovers, and your two freshmen back there didn't turn it over once, right? And guys are throwing up on the sideline, and it was the I'm so proud moment. I said after that game, people say, what's your favorite line when you've been doing a game? Well, I said in the closing seconds, because of the 8-0 turnover especially, I said, Eric, I'm looking up here right now, and I see 86,000 people that are going to walk out of the stadium saying that was really ugly. I said, as far as I'm concerned, other than the day I met my wife, that's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. And so it's a fun win. And then 2017 at Oklahoma. I mean, just to go in again, circumstances, right?
Yeah.
So Jacob Park gets kicked off the team. Kyle Kemp, who's thrown two forward passes in a 5-year college career, starts and throws for like 347 yards and four touchdowns, hits Alan Lazard for the game winner, and Iowa State wins it because it kind of started the whole thing with the Matt Campbell era of, we can beat anybody, anywhere, anytime, if we play well enough, right?
Yeah.
Now, it doesn't mean you're always going to beat everybody anywhere, anytime, but you can. If you play well enough, you're going to have a chance, and I think that game kind of established that. So in football, those, and basketball, man, I could just go on. There's just been a million of them, but a really special one for me was when Johnny Orr came back. And again, it's personalities and people and relationships, but when Johnny came back and Fred escorted him out, and the crowd went nuts just like they did when Johnny was coaching, and It happened to be that he was the winningest coach in both Michigan and Iowa State basketball history. And there he was for that game, Michigan and Iowa, top 15 match, Iowa State, top 15 matchup. I think Michigan was number 7. Iowa State beat him that day. And he died about a month later.
Yeah.
And so the timing of it was just unbelievable that, you know, you brought back Coach Orr not knowing that he was going to pass away a month later. And thank God we did, you know, and when we did, and just that he could hear that roar of that crowd one more time. So it's usually personal things like that that make games special for me, and those are ones that really stand out.
So when you've been up there, you know, calling football back, I mean, use the Paul Rhodes era, did you ever look down and think, oh my God, there's that guy on the sidelines, he's pretty animated, or did you ever notice any of that?
No, talking about you?
Talking about Tony over here.
Oh, okay, yeah. I noticed it about you.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
What's the guy's name? You get behind the line. He's from Ankeny.
No, the get back guy?
Yeah, the get back guy. That's Presnell. He'd like to say back behind the line. Yeah. Tony'd be out there about half court.
Paul needed a get back guy. And Tony might have needed one, too.
Yeah. One time Cecil went out there.
Yeah,
that was
that's
good.
Hey, that's another of my favorites was when Paul and Cecil embraced, and I've got that picture that I gave Paul of him and his dad walking up the ramp.
Yes.
After beating Iowa 44-41.
Yes.
In that triple overtime game with Steele Jantz, and that was really cool in 2011. So that's another one that jumps off.
Is that the one we ended up in his basement?
Could be.
That was
one of the wins over at Iowa City.
Oh boy, that was a night.
That's a heavy.
Oh boy,
it's a heavy trophy.
Yeah. Oh my God, it's gigantic. We had Darren Islander carried it, and
probably both Fontana boys.
No, the other guy that's Lane Davis.
Oh, okay.
And
you need a few.
Let's call three. I tell you, we got our picks. That thing was
Higgins?
Yeah, that's who it was. Yeah. I think Darren was asleep and already gone to bed. It was back here, and they drug him out. I think we got home at 5 in the morning or something like that.
Hey, you
got
to celebrate the
whole man.
Oh, you don't went over there often.
But
the pink locker room.
Yeah, but you're talking about the locker room there, you know, over there. You were in the locker room in Nebraska, weren't you, Tony?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not in Nebraska. No, I didn't get to see that live.
Okay.
I was at the Iowa City, both them, though.
Yeah.
Yes. I think they were really cautious about who was coming in and out with
all the sick guys.
Yeah.
And Eric and I drove to Lincoln that morning. We didn't go on the team bus. And so we went that morning to Lincoln, and we're sitting there talking, and we kind of talked each other into, hey, we got a real chance to win today, I think. You know, I think we got a great shot. And then Tom Crochelle, sports information director, calls and goes, guys, Alexander Robinson is not playing today. Austin Arnott is not playing today. We hung up with Tom, and then Eric and I looked at each other. Well, I guess it'll have to be another.
70-something. Yeah. I remember some of those.
But you know what's cool about it, Tony, is that all those years in Nebraska doing what they did to Iowa State over there in that place, the final time they played in that building, Iowa State got them.
Yeah.
And all the years of Bill Snyder doing what he did to Iowa State, the final time Bill Snyder faced Iowa State, he got them.
Yeah.
They got him. And Hayden Fry and what he did to Iowa State for 15 years in a row, the final time Hayden Fry played Iowa State, we got him. So we got walk-offs in all three of those situations. So
they still,
we'll take it.
I still remember Bo Pelini's warm handshake after the game. I talk about that. It was a drive-by.
And
my brother goes, I don't blame him. They turned the ball right over. I probably would have done it 8 times. I would have done the same thing.
Beauty's in the eye of the beholder. Absolutely.
Who else had a handshake like that, Tony?
I don't know.
Remember Nick Saban with his?
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. He had that too.
So in that picture, when I'm so proud, one of the guys in that little close-knit group there, that he was a captain and now works where I used to work at the Polk County Juvenile Detention Center, James Smith, if you remember
him,
little safety.
Absolutely.
Out of Council Bluffs.
Yeah.
He'd still built pretty well. Believe me, he works out all the time.
Is he the guy that came up the Cooper the other night?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was born in Haiti, I think.
Yes. Quite a story.
Yeah. Really, what a journey.
Yeah.
Those kind of stories are cool.
Yeah, he was, we ended up hiring him, and then it opened up the door for a few editors that were interested in that type of field, working with juvenile delinquents.
Awesome.
But he's still there, as is Josh Raven.
Cool.
Aaron Wimberly was there for a while. Now he's a Des Moines police officer. I don't know.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Love seeing those guys out there succeeding in real life. That's good.
I want to go back to the actually basketball this year.
Yeah.
So Dan and I went to the Final Four, and I mean, those were four really, really good teams and probably the teams that deserved to be there, I'm guessing. Well, they were all number one seeds.
Yeah.
But what struck me is having watched Iowa State on and off during the year, not seeing every game, I don't think they were that far away from when they're healthy from being that type of team. I mean every possession was a grind as far as, I mean, those guys all got after it, but maybe where Iowa State was just a little bit below these other teams is scoring options, but I'm telling you, that was some good basketball we saw down there in San Antonio.
Oh, I bet it was, and yeah, you're right. I mean, those were the deserving teams. And you know, you think about the way Houston was playing at the end of the year. And Auburn, you know, Iowa State was up by 18 at the half on Auburn, you know, and Maui ended up losing by two. So they played with those teams.
Yep.
That, you know, they certainly were, I think when they were 15-1 and ranked, I think, third or fourth in the country, they were at that level. But then they had some injuries start kind of just snowballing one on top of the other, and it made it hard. It made it hard. But it's some places you just bring in another guy.
Yeah,
we're not one of those places.
Yeah.
You know. So.
But it was hard to gauge. I mean, Iowa State was at that level for a good part of the year.
No question.
And at the second half, with all back to Kelderman, I mean, they weren't just sticking him in there. He was getting some important minutes during this
season. He was.
And even down there when they played at Houston, they were shorthanded. They gave them a
– Absolutely.
They ended up coming and making that a game.
That was the first game where he really showed everybody, hey, I belong.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it wasn't just like mop-up time. He was out there in meaningful minutes against one of the best backcourts in college basketball.
Yes.
On the road, completely hostile environment. And they were down 16-17 in that game, and they came back at it to like a 3-point game. And Kate had a big role in that.
Yeah, just imagine though the average kid that does it, putting on the, you look at like Major League Baseball. The iCubs call up somebody of the major leagues. They say they're in the big leagues now, and they
the nerves.
It's too big for them, and they got to come back down like Shaw this year. And I'm just saying it's how he performed. I'm thinking, man, he doesn't look scared at all, and I'd be just dying, man.
Well, TJ just kept saying all year, and I said it earlier in this podcast, but he just kept saying, he's a good player. I mean, people need to realize this isn't just some sympathy thing of let's put this guy on our roster. He's a really good basketball player. They wanted him on that.
Well, I watched him take it over and beat Peter, not Peter Jock, Omaha Baloo.
Correct.
And that was one of the best high school games ever. I think Cato had 30 or something in that game, and it was,
he could play.
Yeah, I mean, one of my favorite Omaha Baloo stories, I think Tony's the one that said it, Dan said it. Dan was covering an Ankeny game, and we were down at a Pet Rock concert in Omaha, I think. Somebody went up for a shot or whatever, and Dan said he just blocked that one to Omaha. you remember that, Dan?
Yeah.
He goes, yeah.
And ironically, we were watching a band from Omaha.
Wow. Well, we got, look at that. See, this is what you get in the this is what you get in the broadcast, but no,
which can't get anywhere else.
But I tell you, other walk-ons that I want to give a shout-out to is, how about Easton Miller from Centennial?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I don't think it's going to be long for that kid to get scholarshiped.
It's nice to see those kids. They get their opportunity mostly on special teams, right? And he's a really good special teams player.
He's got those white gloves on, too, man.
Yeah,
I could always find him.
Yeah. I mean, look at last year when Iowa State beat Baylor.
Yeah.
And they blocked that punt. It was one of the most memorable plays of the season. And Caden Mattson from Humboldt, walk-on, scoops it up and scores. And I'm looking down at my roster going, who the heck was that? And Ryan Harklaw, who's our sideline guy, is from Humboldt. He's down there yelling, it's Caden Mattson! Matson. That's Caden Matson. He's my, you know, he's my buddy, you know. And,
yeah.
And so you love those stories. And I hope those stories can continue, because with the new roster limits and things like that, I hope there's still room for the Lane Danielsons and the Jack Whitfers to, you know, walk onto the team, earn their way into a scholarship, and become significant. Really, I mean, Lane Danielson's one of the top five receivers in Iowa State history.
I know.
You know, and
from Dyke, Iowa.
Dyke, New Hartford. Yeah, yeah. I played for Tom Wilson there, you know.
Yeah.
And so you want those kind of stories to continue to have the chance to happen, especially for all the Iowa high school kids that are, you know, going to get those opportunities. The bulk of them are going to be kids from Iowa.
Yeah.
And so you just hope those kids, the opportunities.
You know, you see a kid that does it. And I remember one time talking to your coach, and he's good friends with Jason Luch, who's one of my great friends. And he was at something, and I said, you need to, he goes, we really want him, Rod. He goes, we really want Cato. And we were at Briarwood, had a great conversation. And I said, well, he's at prom tonight. And I said, I'll take a selfie, and said, hey, he said, we just don't go after walk-ons. We don't want a kid that just wants a jersey. We want somebody that can help us, that
Absolutely.
Wants to buy in. And he said, we don't have many walk-ons. Mm. He goes,
there's a purpose
for
everything he does.
So it was
TJ is one of the most purposeful people I've ever met. Him and Tim Floyd are probably the two people that everything they do has a reason for it. Like everything they do. What time they wake up, what time they, everything they do in their day has some kind of a reason for it. And that's TJ. And so, yeah, he absolutely does not want to just take walk-ons to make a booster happy or that. It's, no, this guy's either going to help us in some way. And then you saw that with Conrad Hawley as just being the chief energy officer.
Oh, unbelievable.
Conrad never scored one field goal in his entire Iowa State career. But, man, look at his contribution.
Is he the one that played football somewhere before, too?
At Kansas.
Yeah. They just love him.
They love him. He walked on, and he did a ton of speaking engagements. Came in wanting to be a Navy SEAL. I don't know if he's kind of they did some Navy SEAL training. I think he might have said, okay, maybe this, you know, maybe this isn't for me. But Conrad's going to be a success no matter what he does in life. They brought him in to bring guys together, you know, so that there was chemistry. And he was the facilitator of that. And that's a great role for a guy, especially because he embraced it. That's all he wanted out of it, was just to be a part of a team and feel special. And he knew he wasn't going to be a guy that was out there scoring 5 points a game or whatever, but he was going to be the guy that helped this guy from this background get close to this guy from that background. And Tony, you know this better than anybody, but the longer I've been around it, and I was not a great athlete at all, so it's been a learning experience as a broadcaster, but I have learned over all these years the importance of chemistry and how much it matters to a team having success. When you talk about going and winning Lincoln, Nebraska with those odds stacked against you, I mean, you have to have great team chemistry for those kind of things to happen. And I think that's where the Cade Keldermans and Conrad Hawleys are so huge in the big picture of Iowa State basketball, because they are guys that facilitate that team chemistry.
Yeah, yeah, I had asked these guys before, but it might have been on a Keith Murphy thing I just read recently, and he basically said that Hal Burton, he put it out there, is he the best athlete to take at the next level ever to come out of Iowa State? You know, I mean, who's better that you've ever seen come out of there?
Right. And I, maybe best athlete isn't the way to word it.
Yeah.
You know, most accomplished. I think he's on pace to do that. Now, Brock Purdy is
there
neck and neck with him, and they're both 25 years old. And they were buddies. They went to classes together, and they're both right on that same trajectory.
Yeah.
It feels like. You know, there's been some great athletes. I mean, Matt Blair. I mean, you can go down the list.
That was Tony's favorite.
Oh, he was a phenomenal athlete and player.
Tony used to see him at, did you know that his son was in the marching band?
No.
At Iowa State?
No, I did not know that.
Yeah, tell him, Tony.
Not my son, Matt Blair.
Yeah. Matt used to come back a lot.
I'm not sure his son or daughter, but yes.
Took up photography and he'd come back.
Yeah, he'd take pictures on the sideline.
Yeah,
Tony always regretted never going up and getting his picture with him because it was maybe his favorite player ever.
Well, I can see by the Vikings.
I'm a little shy.
Mug right in front of him that would be the case. Yeah, you know, as a Bears fan, that's tougher for me to relate to. But Tyrese is, what he's doing is amazing. It's amazing.
Did you see it?
No, not to this level. I mean, I could tell. So here's what's funny about when Tyrese was being recruited At first, it was you and I. That's where he was going to go, probably, was you and I. And then he had this great senior season at Oshkosh. After Iowa State had started to show some interest with Steve Prohm, they got the commitment, and he just went out and went nuts that senior year. So a lot of other schools came in and started offering, but he just stayed loyal to Iowa State and ended up coming. But still, nobody saw this. So David Hobbs, who was on Steve Prohm's staff, he was kind of like an advisor type guy, and he had been the head coach at Alabama when Coach Prohm was a manager, and that's the relationship there. But he'd been a scout for the Utah Jazz. He'd seen a lot of Spurs. He's been around the NBA for a long time. So he walks out of the gym one day, and I said, "How's Halliburton?" And he goes, "He never misses a shot." And he goes, "He never misses." He goes, "It's unbelievable." He goes, "It's the worst looking form I've ever seen, but we're not going to change it." And he goes, "Because he never misses." Yeah. And so, you know, he shoots that rainbow, and it's a weird release, but he just kept making it. And then the other part of the equation was just how Tyrese loves playing basketball. Like Deontay Garrett was like this too, where they just could play all day, you know, and never get tired and be happy and just play pickup games from the minute they wake up in the morning till they go to bed at night. And that was what he was like. And so he loved the game. And part of that joy for him in the game is getting other guys involved. And so that's what's so much fun to watch him. And he broke Eric's half single game assist record. They won the Big 12 tournament his freshman year. And so that's when you started hearing, okay, he's going to go in the NBA, you know, and then the next year he got hurt, unfortunately. Yeah. But
so my son Jackson and Tyson Kelderman, Cade's brother, played against him in Milwaukee two or three times. He played on the Spartans team, which was their best AAU team there.
Yep.
We didn't beat him, but Jackson always said, we played against him and stuff. And his fiance's very good friends with Jackson's fiance.
Okay,
so
cool.
they know each. So Jackson actually knows him fairly well. But we're talking about that. And then I threw out to our boy band that, you know, we had the party with. We kind of threw out the thing the other day, like, well, if it's him, who would be like Iowa's? You know, like maybe. And Tony said, Caitlin Clark. Well, I watched her my whole life. I watched her playing the Kellerman girls. I watched her all.
Pretty hard to argue that one.
And I'll be honest, I thought she was good, but, you know, and I knew she was, but who saw this?
Right.
Isn't she's the best choice. She saw it.
Let's go back to Kurt Warner.
Yeah.
You and I, and playing for the Iowa Barnstormers. Who saw that coming? You know, and so there's some really cool stories like that that come out of it.
And that's what's neat about sports. And I think that's probably something that you get an advantage to do because you get to see it. You get to talk to the coaches. 23 years. I mean, I've been with Shelter for 37 years, which is a long time. Tony just retired from Polk County, and he served our county great and did a lot for his employees at his retirement party. Tony was good at getting minority hires and getting women in there and promoting and just giving everybody a fair shake. And it was, you know, pretty emotional. But most people don't stick with their jobs that long. How long were you with the county, Tony? 33?
34.
34 years. 34 years. So Tony and I.
You've been around.
That's 71 years, man. But we get to see some cool things. My cool thing is, you know, I have a client that a year ago, you know, has a devastating tornado that his home's completely destroyed, and to be honest, we kicked ass, man. We did. I mean, it was unbelievable, and no one could believe it. I mean, I'm sounding like Donald Trump here. No one could believe what we did. You know, I'm sorry I to say that there.
It was huge.
Yeah, it was huge. It was just no one had ever seen it. But anyway, it was pretty incredible. And my client then invites the people that helped him, and I'm at basically he catered in Great Caters of Iowa. His home was rebuilt beautiful. And it's like, is that your insurance guy there? And they go, see, this is, and he goes, and there was like 30 people. This is the guy that made it all happen. And this is why I do the broadcast. This is why I sponsor Shelter Insurance. That's the part that I find rewarding is somebody has the worst day of their life and we make it better, you know?
It's pretty cool.
It's really pretty, it's awesome. And the lady went up to my wife that was his builder and said, is he like this with everybody? And she goes,
Yeah,
he would. I mean, he'd get out of bed and, you know, do whatever. And anyway, those people now, I do their insurance.
Awesome.
But you get to see.
Wait a minute, I got to say,
master of the segue, my man.
Yeah. I mean, Ed Wilson wants his segues back. I mean, how you move that into a commercial was.
I want to know where it's going next.
Yeah. All right, but go ahead. But you just get to see cool stuff. And tonight's kind of truthfully, everybody's got their second career. I always wanted to be a color guy, you know, and I wanted to prove I could do it, not cuss a lot.
Oh, here it comes.
So I'm working. This is my audition.
Yep.
So I think maybe we can maybe do Iowa State, cover some field hockey, start, you sure. know, something that
we just get covered. The sport.
Yeah.
As soon as we have the sport, you are a lock for our first field hockey project.
How about,
guarantee.
Maybe the baseball game, too.
Baseball, field hockey.
You don't have field hockey?
Men's gymnastics. You're our voice for all those things going forward.
I should get a T-shirt. The voice of field hockey.
Yeah.
I'm going to have it made.
You will.
And speaking of like Iowa State sports again, I'm going to throw another one out there. I mean, you know, it's amazing. You know, Tony and I, we both went to Iowa, and truthfully, you couldn't have gone to the University of Iowa at a better time for sports
right.
than we were there.
Yep.
Hayden turned the program around.
Yep.
We had Luke Olson, then we had George Raveling, who trust me, when you look at the talent that was on that team, it's I don't know.
No doubt.
It's like he had seven NBA end up in the
yep.
NBAs.
Yep.
Dan Gable never lost. I mean, it was just, we were good at everything. And then mm-hmm. when women's basketball wasn't big, C. Vivian Stringer felled Carver Hawkeye Arena. We were there. Remember they did that panoramic photo or whatever. I mean, like Brent Cameron, my friend, graduated from high school in 87. He says, you were there. You know, I go, I guarantee Iowa sports have never been as good.
That was a golden era.
As they were.
For sure.
We were good at everything.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, number one versus number two in football. I mean,
I was on the field that day. I was down there shooting for Channel 8.
Wow.
The number 1-2 game. Yeah.
Wow.
Bob Houtland hit
you
the
were
kick.
There too.
I was in the corner in the end zone, and I was trying to go out toward the celebration, and man, I about got killed because people were flying.
So did you ever get to interview Hayden Fry?
I mean, I was at his press conferences.
Yeah.
I heard the hitch and the giddy up and the all that stuff. Oh, yeah.
Wasn't he something else with those white pants and stuff?
Oh, yeah. He was a character. And that's what you – I mean, that think about that era with Hayden Fry at Iowa and Johnny Orr at Iowa State and the personality.
Yeah.
And Coke did those ads with the two of them, you know.
Who was the one that did the Bartles and James type guys?
That was Walden and Orr.
Oh, was that the best or whatever?
Yeah, man? Walden and Orr.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And,
oh, my God.
Those personalities were bigger in coaching back then, and they could be. And now everybody's more guarded because the salaries are so huge, and there's social media everywhere. I mean, can you imagine if Johnny Orr said the stuff that he said then,
in a
public setting, like at the outings or things like that, or even just... Even at press, I mean, his press conferences were legendary. One of my favorites was Iowa State had lost three straight, really close, heartbreaking games, right? Coach Orr comes up, does his post-game press conference. Tim Swor is a reporter from Cedar Rapids, a TV station. He ended up in Detroit, good reporter. But anyway, he goes, Coach, is it disappointing losing all these close games in a row? And Orr goes, of course it's disappointing. Because you ever been involved in athletics? Tim Swor goes, yeah. He goes, would you play ping pong? So, I mean, the stuff that, you know, now you just get raked over the coals for doing this stuff. Or, you know, but he just said so much funny stuff that you could have that personality back then. And that's what Fry was like and Gable was like. You know, it's just, it was a different era. And I'm glad we got to experience that era.
Yeah.
Because it makes us appreciate so much more what it was like and how much fun everybody had during that time.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's just, you know, I've seen so many just living in Iowa. I mean, I go to, you know, Dan that's here who hasn't said much, and he's like you, he's the ultimate professional, and it just keeps these things going so smooth and keeps us from going off the tracks, which we've done a great job with today. I mean, remotely gone off the tracks. But
you teetered.
Yeah, teetered, but yeah. But we were totally in the PG Disney mode off the tracks this time. But Dan, I mean, this guy covers every sport.
Yes.
I mean, every sport. I mean, this is a slow time of year, and he's only because he's got Jaguar hockey.
Field hockey. Yeah. He doesn't cover either field hockey team.
But no, I mean, the guy works. He covers everything.
And has for a long time.
And, you know, and it's people like Sean Tunks moved to Centennial to play, and his mom says, nobody has something like Ankeny Fanatic. Nobody has this. Right. Nobody has something to cover their kids. The prep of the week, you know, this, you know, Dan was forever covered us so well for the, you know, I call it the Press Citizen and then the Register, and then they decided that they don't want.
Right.
They don't want anybody anymore, and then they hire people that are so stupid that we're at a football game one time.
Now you're getting off
the rails. Yeah, well, sorry.
There we go.
No, the Des Moines Register hires somebody that's
to broadcast.
Yeah, you know, okay, like John York, the hair guy that plays ping pong, has never covered nothing. He goes up after a football game, on the sideline. I'm talking to Bob Fontana. Bob just helps get the officials in and out, and he says, Coach Pizzetti, do you have any time for some comments? And Bob goes, I'm not Coach Pizzetti. I'm the basketball coach. Now, if you just covered a game, wouldn't you think you would know? But that's what they replaced.
I'll have comments in 3 months.
That's what they replaced Dan with.
Well, Jerry Pizzetti hasn't been around very long. It'd be hard to know exactly who he was.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I mean, you know, he probably would have got more words out of Bob than you'd ever get a Jerry.
No question about that.
Yeah,
now, let me tell you a Jerry Pizzetti story real quick. So, doing a Channel 8, I'm working for them when I'm getting started, and I'm doing a story on Matt Whitaker.
Yeah.
And so we go up, Chuck Reed and I go there, and we go to interview Coach Pizzetti, and he's talking her ear off, you guys go to Drake? And, yeah, he goes, I went to Drake. And I play, yeah, I still have that shuffleboard machine there at Peggy's. Yeah. You know, we talk, and we start the interview. Coach, tell us about Matt Whitaker. He's about 6'4", 220, can really run. What else about him? He's a good competitor. You know, just two-word answers, three-word answers all the way through the interview. And the minute we put the camera down and turned it off, he's like, that Whitaker kid, he's a great leader. I love him. He does this. He does that. And that was Coach Pizzetti.
Yeah.
When he was on camera, he wasn't going to say. He was very guarded. But, man, the minute you turned that camera off, he was going to talk your ear off about that kid.
And,
so
know,
it was fun.
You know, and we're just blessed because he's one of the finest human beings that God has ever put on this. He was really close with Tony's dad. He coached Tony, coached Paul.
Yep.
I mean, he's, you know, he's the best. And after we leave here tonight, we're going up to Sports Page. I know Dan's going to be up there because Bob Fontana's retired.
Nice.
And Scott DeYoung retired.
Okay.
And then Marge Rasmussen, it's the glue of the whole, you know, athletic department.
Yeah.
She just retired. So, yeah, I mean, like Tony's leaving, it's a lot of people, a lot of good people that people are going to have to replace right now. And, you know, it's you know, we're blessed. We're just blessed to have great coaches. I mean,
it's cool that we've been around to see all the stuff that we've seen through this era.
It's amazing. We have there's so many good coaches, and I'm gonna segue back to one little thing. You talked about Tim Floyd being a purposeful guy,
right?
Like our coach today,
right?
Don't you think Tim Floyd was built for the NIL?
Yeah, he might have been.
I mean, he could bring him in like nobody else.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought to myself, Tim Floyd would be perfect today for it.
He would. Because look at the year after Fred left and Yulo and Hurl, and he went and they got picked for last. Nobody thought they were going to be any good. Nobody knew who Dedrick Willoughby was.
Yeah.
Kelvin Cato came in at the semester under the radar. He can do that at 6'11". Sean Bankhead, nobody knew who he was. And they go out and win the final Big 8 tournament that year.
I know.
But he would have been perfect for the NIL.
He was he's an NIL coach, man.
He could have.
I mean, he just was, you know, John Carl, the Lincoln coach, you know.
Yes.
He was built for it, too, because that guy, he was a master recruiter in high school before you could open and roll. And he was pretty good at not letting kids play football, too.
I've heard stories about him from Jerry Shartner. I'm pretty close to Jerry.
He's a good dude. And, you know, you got another guy up, Chuck Reed. He's as fine as they come, too.
Yeah. Yep.
He's still the voice of the Bulldogs, isn't he?
He is.
Yeah.
He's been doing great, too.
You know,
near league champs.
He's a great kid. And they just got an Ankeny kid going up there.
Call him a kid. Chuck Reed, a kid. man.
He's younger than me.
Well, okay, but we're showing our age now, man.
Well, he was always a kid. I used to get him the tapes on the sideline and stuff.
I know.
You know,
yeah.
Chuck used to do the handicapping out at Prairie Meadows, too.
You guys are cut from the same cloth. Yeah, you're like Chuck Jr.
You know what he is? He's quality guy, man.
He is. He's a great guy.
But I got to throw my last one out here. We're talking about all these great athletes.
Yep.
One of the best athletes at Iowa State happens to be a center fielder on the softball team. Her name's Ireland Buss. I give her a little shout out. So if anybody's got some NIL money out there, you want to throw it towards Ireland. She'll be appreciative. That's going to be my son's sister-in-law.
Well, there you go.
And very, very, very good people. And they came to the 5th annual Boy Bash too.
Very nice.
He's the master.
As did Kate Kelderman at the 5th annual Boy Bash.
Yeah.
We had some good. We had some good Iowa State athletes participation at the. And I'll say one last thing because I'm going to throw it out there. I always end with a saying, but and with what you do, John and Dan, we have a really good friend. His name's Jeff King, and he wrote for the Ames. Was it the Tribune?
Yes.
Yep.
And how many years did he do
that?
You
probably know him, right?
I knew Jeff. Yeah, sure.
Well,
sure.
Jeff came to our party a year ago.
Yeah.
And had trouble finding his way home.
Yep.
And they found out that Jeff has dementia.
Mm-hmm.
And he's doing good with it. And this year, we decided we were going to try and raise money to help Jeff.
Awesome.
And we went over $6,000, didn't
awesome.
We, Tony?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If anybody's listening to this and they want to reach out and, help out Jeff, you can contact me or Tony or Dan, and we'll certainly add your money to the pile, but it'll help his family a lot. But it was pretty heartwarming to see. I mean we were kind of hoping for 5, weren't we, Tony?
That was my goal.
Yeah.
It was pretty.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Over
yeah.
6.
And we call him Bup. This is his nickname, Bup. Tony gave him his name, Bup. It's Bup King. He got up with his wife and spoke, and it was almost locker room Nebraska emotional. I mean, Jeff was very appreciative, and it was cool.
That's what it's all about, man.
And he's an Ankeny kid and went to Ankeny and loves sports, And so I want to give my last shout out to Jeff, and I want to thank you for coming.
Anytime.
It was great.
Yeah,
I mean,
love visiting with you guys.
I mean, this is the best broadcast we ever had because Dan wasn't on it much. Oh, sorry, Dan.
Yeah.
No, but my key word is, I always leave one at the end so people listen to the end, it's Bup.
All right.
That's Bup. We're going to leave with Bup tonight. But,
I like that.
But thank you for coming, Tony. Thanks for having us.
I thought Gary Dolphin was coming, so I that's how I go.
He's next week. He's next week.
No.
Dolph's a great guy. You should ask Dolph.
I love John Walters. John was class act with the whole time my brother was there.
Yeah, and Paul loves him too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean,
still
I mean,
a great relationship.
And hopefully Paul, this is my last segue. I just really, two things that we're lucky in life. Paul never coached at Notre Dame because I can't imagine Tony ever. But I tell you, if he did, man, he'd have leprechaun stuff all over his house, man.
Yeah.
But I always kind of was hoping he'd try the NFL. He'd really look good in that aqua and orange, man. I mean,
check out the
he'd look good. I get Tony down there to Miami with me.
That'd be something.
I said, ain't it great being a Dolphin, Tony? Well, playing Paul was a Dolphin.
Yep.
He was an Gulf Shores Dolphin.
Gulf Shores.
Twice,
that's right.
Yeah.
That's right, yeah.
But anyway, hey, it's been great.
It's been awesome. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks, Rod. Are we done?
Boom.
Yep, boom.
All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Rodcast. Hope you guys enjoyed that conversation with the voice of the Cyclones, John Walters, and we really appreciate his time this afternoon. That was a great conversation. You didn't hear my voice during that conversation because we only have the 3 headsets, so I begged off of this interview and let the other 2 guys take control, and they did a great job. So anyway, come back in 3 months for our next edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Rodcast.